Thank you, Letitia. All right, I do want to recognize my co-authors, Dr. Roberts and Dr. Norman, and also Priscilla Oliveira Martins. Priscilla was with us at the University of Arkansas from Brazil, working on a sandwich PhD project, and she performed a good deal of the research that you'll hear us talk about today. So just briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over this because I think most of us are aware of the fact that soil test potassium, namely ammonium acetate K or malic 3K, is affected by the process of drying. And the confusing part of it is that sometimes soil test potassium increases, sometimes it decreases, and sometimes it has no effect on the final answer. So sometimes we've, you know, been reluctant to acknowledge this because of the variability. And this has been known since, you know, really the discipline of soil testing was really getting cranked up back in the 1950s. More recently, the group out of Iowa State from Dr. Mallarino has shown that filled moist soil potassium is better correlated with relative corn and soybean yields than is potassium from dried samples. And again, this is just reconfirmation of what was found back in the 1950s and 1960s. Just to explain our situation in Arkansas, we are a state that is divided by aphis, meaning that we have half of our state that is infested with fire ants and half of it is not. Both of our labs just happen to be, according to aphis, in areas that are not infested with fire ants, and they require us to dry all of our samples for a minimum amount of time. They have to be heated to at least 150 degrees Celsius for 2 hours. So that's considerably higher than what probably most state labs dry their soil samples at. And therefore, you know, this effect of drying, which has been previously shown that oven drying has a more dramatic effect on the difference in K between filled moist and dry samples than is air drying. However, our research, you know, in the field shows that soybean and our dry soil K is pretty highly correlated, but we don't get quite as good a correlation with flood irrigated rice, and perhaps that's because, you know, we don't have the fluctuating moisture contents in the field that may influence the K release, because many of our soils do have relatively low extractable K contents. So the objectives of the presentation today is going to be to examine whether or not the effect of soil drying can be reversed. Again, this was a topic of research back in the 1950s and 60s, and basically, for the most part, you know, they said, no, it can't be reversed. But obviously, we have, you know, lots of soil samples cataloged in our laboratory from field trials, and unfortunately, they've all been dried, and I guess they'll be completely useless, you know, for doing a correlation with filled moist potassium. The second thing that we'll talk about today is to determine the soil moisture at which K availability begins to change, and we'll look at some of the relationships from different sets of soil samples that we have analyzed using both filled moist and oven dry samples. So briefly, just looking at the methods, all of the samples that we have taken that we'll talk about today were collected from the 0 to 10 centimeter depth, and the sets of soil that we'll discuss include 35 filled sites that were sampled in late fall 2014, and this is what Priscilla focused most of her attention on in the lab. But we have also collected additional samples in the winter of 2015, which would have been January, February months, from some of our longer-term fertilization trials with both phosphorus and potassium from two contrasting soils. The DeWitt soil started out having more than adequate soil test potassium. The Calhoun silt loam just sucks up potassium and doesn't show it on the soil test very well. And then we had samples that we collected from our 2015 field trials that were taken under a pretty wide range of soil conditions. And we divided those further out into clay soils and loamy soils. Our soil processing was done where we took the composites, we hand mixed them, and then we ran them through a 5-millimeter sieve, and then again through a 2-millimeter sieve to mix the sample and to reduce particle size. We then took the sieved samples and we split it. Part of it was then allocated to oven drying, and the rest of it was kept in the filled moist state. And the moisture was determined, and then for both methods, we used 2 grams equivalent soil, oven dry soil, and mixed it with 20 mils of Malic 3 extractant, which was then examined on the ICAP. So for the first question, we took 3 soils. All three were loamy soils, and we had 5 treatments in the laboratory. These were filled moist soil that ranged from 18 to 27% gravimetric moisture content, oven dry soil that was dried at the 65 degrees C for 3 days. We then re-moistened the oven dry soil to its the moisture at which it was sampled at. We had oven dried soil that we flooded, and then we had filled moist soil that we flooded. And for the flooding treatments, we flooded it for 30 days, and then we allowed the flood to slowly evaporate in the incubator, and then we kept it at about 80% of filled moisture capacity for another 70 days. And the reason we wanted to look at flooding is obviously because we flood a lot of our soils for rice production, and that is one thing that had not been looked at back in the 50s and 60s. So to examine this, the analysis of variance for our 3 soils was conducted by soil. The different color bars represent the different treatments, and Malic 3 extractable K is shown on the y-axis. The OD stands for oven dried, FM stands for filled moist, and the one thing that stands out is if you look at all 3 soils, we never could return, even with the flooded sample, the soil test potassium back to its filled moist state. Interestingly enough, even when we flooded the filled moist soil, it had no effect. So, you know, to me, this looks like a real situation that we're maybe seeing with our rice, that when we dry the soil, we're getting that abnormal flush of potassium that the rice is never seeing during the growing season because it never experiences that drought period. We also looked at this for phosphorus because our work also shows that phosphorus is significantly affected in our soils in Arkansas. And, you know, the thing that stands out here is the fact that when we air dried the soil and flooded it in all 3 situations, we had a substantial decrease in the amount of P that was extracted. And when we air dried or oven dried the soil, again, we saw a release in phosphorus that we could, again, we could reduce it, but it went back to a level that was not representative of the filled moist soil. So the second issue that we're going to discuss is at what moisture content does extractable K change? And basically what we did here, we took the filled moist soil, we allocated into different vessels, and we allowed it to slowly air dry at 20 degrees Celsius. And we took 8 or 9 different moisture contents, with the last 2 being oven dried for 24 hours at 65 degrees C. We recorded the moisture content, we extracted with Malic 3 solution, and then we characterized the response using a polynomial inverse first order model. And basically we found the same thing that was discovered in the 1950s, and that is when the soil moisture drops below 5%, we either see a substantial decrease in soil test potassium. Here with this soil, which was a heavily K-fertilized silt loam soil from one of our long-term trials, and this is the same soil that had not received potassium for 7 or 8 years, so it had a much lower K content, and you can see the dramatic increase in potassium due to the effect of drying. So basically what we've discovered here is that what they found in the 1950s for our soils in Iowa also occurs in our soils, but maybe not to the same extent. Finally, to compare the different sets of soil, the 5 sets of soil are shown on the far left-hand column. Potassium, the intercept, slope, and the R-squared value are in the next 3 columns, and then phosphorus is shown in the far right-hand columns. The main thing to point out here is that the slope when we regressed oven dry on the y-axis, when we regressed that against filled moist soil, the slope was always less than one, and between these sets of soils, the intercept varied considerably as well. But the relationships tended to be fairly strong, and I've got this one highlighted just from the respect. This is the one where we had the greatest amount of variability in filled moisture. Some of the samples were already at 10%. Some of them were 30% when sampling, and therefore our relationship is not as strong, and that's where we see the highest slope and the lowest intercept. And this was, a diverse set of soils. The relationship for our clayey soils, 50-60% clays, there was none. For phosphorus, four out of the five sets, the slope was almost one, and the significant effect we have here with phosphorus is the fact that our intercept was always significantly greater than zero, and it varied from 2 to 11. The one exception here on the slope was a Calhoun soil, and this was just a potassium fertilization trial, so we had the least amount of variability in phosphorus in this trial because it had always been fertilized uniformly, and it's also a very high pH site, and that may be why that relationship is a little bit off. This is just an example of the relationship that we see for the Calhoun series. Oven dry, soil K regressed against Malik 3. Here's an example of the Malik 3 phosphorus regression. Again, very highly correlated. And just to show this for potassium, looking at the oven dry versus divided by filled moist potassium ratio, you can see that where the greatest effect of the drying is, at least from an increase in soil test potassium, is in the soils that we're making recommendations for potassium on, which is having a significant effect on our recommendation accuracy. And the fact that here the two lines represent two contrasting soils, and they are both behaving differently. This is just for the DeWitt soil. Again, it's also showing, or it was showing, the ratio of oven dry divided by filled moist soil, P. And again, we see the exact same thing, is that where we have the greatest amount of variability in phosphorus is below that 20 parts per million range, which is absolutely critical for getting that accurate so we can get our proper fertilization recommendations out. So just to recap, certainly our soils are no different than what has been shown in the literature. Oven drying has a substantial effect on both phosphorus and potassium. The effect is the greatest on where we have low and very low soil test values. Flooding, and I did not show this, but we also tried some freezing treatments, had no effect on returning potassium back to its filled moist state. And some preliminary field data showed, again, for our flood-irrigated rice, that filled moist soil was giving us a much better correlation in predicting rice tissue K concentration and relative yield response to fertilization than the oven dry samples. So with that, if I have any time left, Leticia, I'll take questions. If not, I'll take that time at the end of the session.